Emmanuel, as God promised in Book of Isaiah, is with us. God with us. And lovely to see you all, and lovely to see all the visitors joining this morning among our midst. Greetings, and wishing you all a blessed Christmas. May the peace of God not reign all the days of our life in our hearts. This morning, as we come to worship and to acknowledge the meaning of Christmas, why we're here, just let's take a moment to just turn to just one verse which the Lord has laid upon my heart from 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. Please turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. If you have this verse, we could all read it together. When you're ready, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15 says, let's read it together. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. It's a great time of the year. I'm sure you all acknowledge. I could see all the colorful formal dresses and coming here to rejoice what the Lord has done. Christmas indeed, just walking down yesterday on a walk around my area. As you walk in the night, even in drive-through in your areas, you see lights, lots of houses lit with the lights. You see Christmas trees. You see families. I saw families gathering in various houses. And it's indeed a time of joy. And it took me back as I was a little boy when I remembered at the time of Christmas. You know, Christmas was a very special occasion at my house. One of the things I remembered is catching up with my relatives. My uncle and aunt from various places would join us. And one of the things is special about Christmas for me as a little child was gifts. You know, it was also a time of celebration, and the relatives who came would buy many gifts. I'm sure the children would be excited as we see in the Christmas time. They'll be looking forward for the gifts and new gifts from the parents. When I talk about gifts, we received many gifts in our lives when you look back. They're very special moments. I still remember as a little boy, I received a bicycle from my aunt. It was very special for me. I remember my parents bringing a little puppy as a present. They're very special moments. It's unexpected. It is something yours. Once it's been given, it is yours. It's free, isn't it? It's absolutely free. But when I look at, as we speak about gifts, you may give many gifts to your children. You want to give your best gift for your loved one. There is no gift which will stay eternal, is it? Everything will perish. I can leave for my children an inheritance that will also perish. There's no gift which will be everlasting gift. But as we come to this verse, one verse, Apostle Paul is saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 15, he says, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. This chapter was, Paul was encouraging the church of Corinth of sacrificial giving. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, he finishes this verse. He remembers himself of the gift of the Son of God coming down to this planet Earth. We know Apostle Paul was jealous for God. He did not know Jesus Christ. He was persecuting the church. He could not describe it any other way. When you say, thanks be unto God, the unspeakable gift, the gift of knowing Jesus Christ, the gift of knowing who Son of God came to this planet Earth, the Word becoming flesh. Can you express this gift this morning? Some of your verses say it's inexpressible. It is unspeakable. I can't give credit speaking about the fullness of the gift, the value of the gift, which we all have received and which we all can rejoice, even on this Christmas day and the days to come. As we turn to Isaiah chapter, if you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. This is the verse written 700 years before Jesus came, in 700 BC. So this is 2,700 years before as we sit here today. Isaiah wrote this verse: "This gift will be born in a form, the God will come in a form of a child, a baby who shall be born to a virgin." As you see in verse 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it, the judgment with justice from henceforth, even forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." If you just take a moment and pause and think about this verse. For who is this child given unto? Who is this given unto us? Isaiah says, unto us, unto you, unto me, unto us, a child is born. As we see the name of the Lord, there are various names. He's called Mighty God. None can defend him. He's called a Wonderful Counselor. How can you fathom the wisdom of God? He's called the Everlasting Peace, the Prince of Peace. He's called the Everlasting Father. As we see the kingdoms in these days with pandemic, with kings and rulers perishing, there's only one king who shall live, and his kingdom shall never end, and that is the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's called the Prince of Peace. Isaiah chapter 9 in verse 2 said, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." This verse has become true in my life and in your life. I was in darkness. It is only by grace of the Lord Jesus Christ the light shined on each one of life. Isaiah put this verse as it is a great light. A great light. It is an unspeakable gift, inexpressible gift. It is indeed a great light shining in this dark world, a perishing world. As you look at the Old Testament times, there are volumes of promises about the Messiah coming, about the Son of God coming. We read in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son." There are very clear revelations as to how Jesus will be born. He will be born as a child. He will be born to a virgin. When you think about born to a virgin, Mother Mary, it is indeed a great miracle, right? It is unspeakable, cannot be proved with science. And that is, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He who created all of us, in him was all things created. Nothing was created without him. The Word became flesh. God became flesh and dwelt among us. And you look at the Old Testament prophecies in Micah chapter 5 verse 2. The Lord revealed hundreds of years ago, the place he will be born is a little town called Bethlehem. It was revealed at that small little town. Bethlehem means house of bread. The Lord will be born in that little place. We all know the story. There was no even room for the King of Kings when he was born. He was born in a manger. We see, as we even read in Isaiah chapter 9, the tribe will be born from the seed of David, his kingdom, from Judah would be the tribe. If you open the book of Daniel, You see various revelation about the Messiah coming, the Ancient of God coming. This morning, I'd like to briefly take you to a portion when Jesus was about 40 days old, a little baby. And if you turn with me to Luke's Gospel chapter 2, and I shall read for you from verse 25 onwards. Here we see, as we know, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. When he was 8 days old, his name was called Jesus. Jesus means, in Hebrew, Yeshua, which means a savior. This name was not chosen by his parents. This name was chosen by Almighty God. And the angels had revealed the name which would be given to the Son of God. And in verse 27, we read of chapter 2 of the days of the purification. According to the law of Moses, when a son is born to a mother, it would be 40 days that they had to wait until the time to come to the temple. So it would be 40 days when I read this verse and you see a man named Simeon in verse 25. So if you could please turn with me. Luke's Gospel chapter 2 verse 25 says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit unto the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of the people of Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, the sword shall pierce through their own soul also, and that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." As you look at this man named Simeon, what was the promise given by the Holy Spirit? He shall not see death until he has seen the Savior. All that we read in Isaiah, the prophecies, we knew that the Lord will come, the Messiah will come. But nobody knew what would be the time he would come. In Galatians 4:4 says, when the fullness of time had come, the Lord sent his Son. He sent his only begotten Son. It was the fullness of time. It was the appointed time. In Romans, we see that at appointed time, when we were without strength, Christ was born. Christ died for the ungodly, for sinners like me. It was the right time, at the appointed time. So here we see a promise for Simeon that he would meet a Savior face to face before he dies. And we saw in this verse, on that day, around the 40th day since Jesus was born, we read that he was moved by the Spirit, verse 27. And he came by the Spirit, he was moved by the Spirit to come to the temple. As he came to the temple, we do know there's Joseph, Mary, and little child, baby Jesus, about 40 days old. And this is quite amazing as well. You see, Simeon is able to recognize the Lord Jesus, the Christ, the Lord. He takes the baby Jesus in his arms. Three things we notice in this prophecy. Firstly, he recognizes in verse 30, it says, "For my eyes have seen thy salvation." Firstly, he knows this little child is the Savior. Secondly, we know in this verse of the prophecy says, he shall be a light to the Gentiles. Not only for the nation of Israel, he shall be a light to the ends of the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. To the ends of the world, his love will be reached. He shall be a light. He shall be a great light, as we read in Isaiah. Thirdly, we see he shall be the glory of Israel. Now, as we see about Simeon, just take a moment and think, if you were given this promise that you shall not see the death till you see the Son of God. I mean, he hoped for everything. He went, we do not know how many days he was waiting. I believe he was an elderly man. It would be 60s or 70s. He was waiting for the consolation of the peace of Israel. On that day when he met this great day, we see that and Simeon said, "Let me depart, Lord. Now let us now thy servant depart in peace according to thy word." We see Simeon saw Jesus and he had the full revelation of who Jesus was. A full revelation. He saw his Redeemer. He saw that little baby child one day will bear his sins. He saw that how he will be bruised. He spoke to his mother, even the sword will pierce her own heart. And he had his peace. Indeed, Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. Brothers and sisters, as we look at this great gift, as Apostle Paul reminded us, thanks be unto God for the unspeakable gift, inexpressible gift. How would you value this gift this morning? How would you express this gift this morning? For Simeon, it was heartfelt to worship. He praised God. He glorified God. He understood that the light will shine to the Gentiles with the glory, and he is his Savior. It is indeed an unspeakable gift. It is called the great gift. There is no greatest thing in life other than knowing a Savior Jesus in your heart. There is no other name under heaven that one could be saved. The greatest gift for any soul is to know a Savior, the gift which came to this planet Earth, to know Savior personally in your heart. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, we read this, "The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life." The gift of God is everlasting life. We all get wages every week for the work. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Because Adam sinned, death entered to this world. But the gift of God is everlasting life. Just take a moment and pause and think, how would you value the everlasting life? Everybody who received this gift has everlasting life. No end to be to a place, as Bible says, eyes have never seen, ears have never heard. To be a place where there is no sin, no sorrow, no death. How would you value this precious gift? Thirdly, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 15 to 17, as you see, this gift is also called, Paul reminds us, it's called a gift of righteousness. There, Paul, as we turn to Romans chapter 5, Apostle Paul brings to a thought, as through Adam, sin entered. Through sin, death entered. And because of Adam, even before the law was given, until Moses, everyone died. And in 5:17, we read this verse. It says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they that receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." By one righteous sacrifice, the most holy sacrifice, by one, we were all seated here together, rejoicing, knowing that I am not guilty in the sight of God. How do you find you're not guilty? Having a gift of righteousness. In Romans 5:1, it says, we are justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've been justified by faith. We also read in 5:17 that it is also called a gift of grace. Gift of grace. The day you believed and received this gift, the Bible says it is by grace through faith you're saved. It is a gift of God. Grace is called unmerited favor of God. In John chapter 1 verse 6, we see that it is in the fullness of grace, grace upon grace, in 1:16, grace upon grace. In 1:14, John, which says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld the glory, we've seen Him. He is full of grace and truth. People who saw Jesus, His character was grace. He was full of grace. In John's Gospel chapter 4 verse 10, Jesus said to that Samaritan woman, oh, only if you knew the gift of this gift of God, if you had asked, I would give you a gift of living waters, eternal life. Indeed, brothers and sisters, this is called an unspeakable gift, inexpressible gift. You cannot describe this gift, the gift of eternal life, gift of righteousness, gift of grace. How would you describe gift of life? John 1:4 says, in Him was life, and life was light of men. Jesus said, I've come that you might have abundance life, life in abundance. As we read, everlasting life. Indeed, in Christ Jesus, I have found my purpose. You have found your purpose of life. The hope, the grace. How would you describe, brothers and sisters, the gift of love which is poured in your hearts? Romans 5:5 says that God's gift and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. That's the first day I came to know why Jesus came, on the day of my salvation, on the day of my conviction, knowing that I'm a sinner, I need Jesus Christ. The love of God is poured in your hearts, in my hearts. And this love, it'll never end. The Word and His love will never end. We'll only know more about His love. Everlasting love. He's loved us with everlasting love. Unconditional love. And in this unconditional love, He sent His only begotten Son. The gift of salvation. How would you value the gift of salvation? Ephesians 2:8 says, it is by grace through faith you have been saved. It is the gift of God. Nobody here, if you're saved, could say, I have earned it. Nobody could earn the salvation. If it is the fullness of grace by grace, how would one could earn the salvation? It is by grace alone and by faith alone. It is the gift of God. We did read in Isaiah, it is called, this gift came from the Prince of Peace. How would you value, brothers and sisters, the Prince, the peace which is in your heart? Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Not like the world giveth. It is not like the peace you receive from the world. It is your beyond understanding. Peace that passeth all understanding. It is the peace of God which rules in our hearts. Let's take a moment this morning as we celebrate this unspeakable gift. As Paul worshipped and said, thanks be unto God for this unspeakable gift. I want to take a few seconds and just pause and think about an illustration. Today we are about to approach 2022 in 7 days. We are in 2021, celebrating Christmas, reminding what happened 2,000 years ago. Just think for a moment, if God the Creator, Almighty God, had not sent His Son, Jesus did not came to planet Earth, the Son was not offered, what would be your position today, sitting here? What would be my position today? Firstly, I was just questioning myself, if that was the case, I have to do my on my own to reach to please God, and I would say none could be able to please God. None would be righteous by keeping. None would be able to keep the law. Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of you here can be called righteous without Jesus Christ. None of you would be made please God without faith. There will be no substitute. There is no substitute. There will be no holy sacrifice. If Jesus had not come, there is no eternal life. There is no hope. We could only understand the value of what God has sent through His Son. As we unpack this gift, not only this Christmas, we'll be going to unpack, we'll only know about this gift, eternity to come. That is the value of the gift. That's why Paul said, this gift is unspeakable. If you're here by any chance this morning and you do not have this gift in your heart, you do not know this gift, you've heard about this gift, but you do not know how to receive this gift. Jesus said in John's Gospel chapter 1, 12, the Word of God says, as many receive Him, to them He gave the right to be called the children of God. You can receive this gift by repentance, by faith, by turning back to Jesus. In Romans it says, it is with your mouth you confess. It is in your heart you believe that Jesus is Son of God. He died for your sins and He rose again. And the Bible says, you shall be saved. If you're a heavy burden, if you have no peace in your life, you do not have peace, you're loaded with your in the darkness life. As Isaiah said 2,700 years ago, in darkness a great light has shined, and that is the only Savior. His name is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and it is only through Jesus I and you can receive that light. Jesus said, no one can come to the Father except through me. If you want to meet a Savior, this gift could be yours in 2021, 25th December. You could receive this gift wherever you are. And how do you receive this gift? Just by believing. Just by faith. Just by trusting. Just by surrendering your heart fully to the and calling upon the name of Jesus Christ. And the gift is yours right from today. Bible says if you believe in Jesus, all that you've done, the past sins, He has loved you with everlasting love, and as for the east is to the west, so far He has removed our transgressions and forgiveness of sins. I speak to you, brothers and sisters, as believers here. In Colossians 1, 27 says, if you turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 says, for whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of His mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have this gift, unspeakable. Paul is saying, Christ in you, the hope of glory. God has made known the mystery, the riches of His glory. Let us not take this gift for granted. Let us, as Paul reminded in 9:15, thanks be to God. How much can you thank God? All we can say is thank you, and all the days of our life, we could live in gratitude. And as Paul reminds, let us be worthy of His calling. As Romans 12:2 says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that we may present our bodies as a living sacrifice. May we bring honor and glory to God. If there's anyone tonight, this morning here, as I close and pray, you can pray this prayer in your heart if you want to receive this gift by inviting Jesus in your heart. And this gift is yours on this Christmas day. Let's close in prayer. Most gracious, most loving Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank Thee and praise Thee for this blessed opportunity to worship You, to know the living God, the loving God, the only true God, the one God who came down to this planet Earth, who sent His only begotten Son at the appointed time, the fullness of time, 2,000 years ago. Lord, as we celebrate, we can only say thank You for the marvelous gift, the unspeakable gift. Lord, we pray for if there is anyone here who do not know You personally, who do not have this gift, we pray that, Lord, You may have mercy on them. You may speak to their heart as the Word reminds, Lord, from Matthew's Gospel, all who are heavy laden, burdened, come to Me, I will give you rest. Lord, we pray for the perishing soul that Your grace is unmerited grace, fullness of grace, that You may, Lord, have mercy and grace. And also pray for our dear brothers and sisters here, that we may live in a worthy manner, thanking Thee and praising Thee for all the days of our life. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So as we take the opportunity now to worship the King of Kings, the children will be given the first opportunity, and then we can join. Please be audible, because the hall is quite big. So we'll have an opportunity to worship individually now. And please be loud and clear if you're able to. Thank you. Over to you.